All right, hello and good evening. I'm your host today, Abner Belsky, and we are back with another episode on Abner Sports Throwdown. Today, I have a very special guest with me. Please welcome Ricardo Hallman, who's a cornerback for the University of Wisconsin and recently named third team All Big Ten. Thank you so much, Mr. Hallman, for joining me on my podcast today. So let's begin. So the first question is, I kind of want to start out when you were in high school. So when you were in high school, you had a bunch of offers from top D1 programs like Ohio State, Florida, Miami, Wisconsin, and more. How and why did you choose Wisconsin over the others? And can you kind of walk me through the factors that went into your decision?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So coming out of high school for me, I was in a situation. I was one of the COVID classes, one of the classes that was heavily affected by COVID. So, kind of everything I went off was communication, just because I didn't get a chance to take official visits or go see schools. Like the only schools I was able to see were Michigan and, yeah, honestly, only Michigan and Miami, just because I'm from Miami. I'm from down there, so you know I've been on campus a couple times. But those were really the only two schools I was able to see. And I also went to Ohio State camp. But then outside of that, and that was just in my younger years, mostly mainly my sophomore year. So doing that, those were really the only three schools I got to see. So for me, it was basically communication. Wisconsin made me feel like a priority. You know, I always had admired their history and kind of what they did and who they played out, especially in when you look at the running backs and the history that he got, like Jonathan Taylor, guys like Rod Dane, just like the history that went through Wisconsin. And then just also having people from my hometown that also went to the University of Wisconsin, and that guys that were currently on the team when I committed. And also played my freshman year with Fayon Hicks. He's from the same place. Samar Belvin, he's also from the same place. And just guys like from before me, I got there. Guys like Rashad Wild, who's Soldier on Sheldon, Scott Starks, not for exactly from my place, but a guy from the Florida area. So just all those type of things just kind of pushed me towards Wisconsin, made me gravitate towards it. And just kind of the group I had, I was in a group chat with the commits before I even committed. And they just felt like some good friends, kind of felt built a great relationship with those guys, and just kind of made it all the more easier when making a decision on where to go to school.
Yeah, no, I mean, feeling like you're a top priority and having that sense of community before you're even at the school is a huge deal. And I'm sure, like you said, that's why you gravitated towards Wisconsin pretty fast.
Yeah.
Can you kind of give me some high school highlights? Cause I know you said COVID really, really affected, you know, your whole recruiting process, but what was the moment that you knew that you could play like collegiate level football when you were in high school?
I would have to say my junior year, because, my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I didn't play my freshman year, and then sophomore year I was about to be able to start. And then I got injured during the springtime, and I had to miss the entire year. So just that moment, and then coming back my junior year, and then having a great year, was able to I think I finished the year with about 8 interceptions, and then I was able to make I had some conference accolades. I made first team all state. And just those things, I thought it was a pretty surreal moment for me. And then it just also made me realize I could play football at the next level. And I think I could play it competitively, just because, you know, Florida, I think we're on 11, but I think Florida's one of the, if not the top, one of the best places for high school football. And just like producing athletes everywhere, and just the competition level is insane. You can see a guy that's going to Division One. Several guys are going to Division One each week. You line up, so I just think being there and competing with the top guys every single week, and you know, competing well and challenging well, and doing good in and out, just made me realize that I could play on the next level, and I could you know, hopefully have a role and be a real contributor at the next level as well.
No, without a doubt, that makes a lot of sense. So now kind of fast forward to your college career. In 2022, you had your first college career interception, and you brought it down one-handed. Can you kind of run me through that play and the one-handed catch, and kind of what was going through your head as it was happening?
Oh yeah, that was crazy. Just the whole setup of that. I just because I literally felt it before the game. I was like, I'm gonna get an interception today. I just feel it. So just kind of when I was on the field, being isolated to the field by myself, it was just a one-on-one matchup. They put everybody else to the boundary, and I knew they were gonna come at me. Just a size difference. The guy was I think either in a range of 6'4", 6'5", and just kind of, I was out there, young corner on an island by myself, so I knew they were going to try me. And then as soon as I seen him go vertical, I seen the quarterback drop back, seen my wide receiver going vertical, knew I had to get in a position where I could cut him off and just play through him and be able to find the ball. And then luckily, I know I just stuck my hand out there. I wasn't even, you know, I didn't even know, like, in my head I was going to catch that. But luckily enough, I stuck my hand out there and it stuck to it, and just was able to control it to the ground. But that was just a surreal moment for me. And, you know, a huge confidence booster for me, especially being a redshirt freshman and that being, like, one of my first times playing. So that was an amazing moment for me, for sure, and probably one of the top moments of my college career so far.
Yeah, I mean, the first one's always the best one, but that for sure was an incredible one, one-handed. Like you said, it was an ISO play, so they were expecting to get it, and you, I don't know, you proved them wrong.
Yes, sir.
And then also, I wanted to ask, did you ever have any, like, moments where you kind of felt like giving up, or any moments where you just felt like you couldn't make it, or adversity that you faced?
I wouldn't say any moments I felt like I had to give up, but I definitely had some challenging moments. I think later in that year, during Michigan State, that was a really bad game for me, a really hard time for me. I ended up giving up. The game with a touchdown, and a touchdown before that, and it was just like, you know, that definitely charged me mentally. After that, I got benched, so I didn't play that much snaps for the rest of the year, and I think that was, like, a really hard moment for me. It charged me mentally. Just kind of got low in confidence on myself, you know, was questioning whether I could, you know, still be a contributing factor on the team and, you know, kind of on this level. But definitely just had to, you know, tap into my faith, and also while tapping into my faith, just had to put my head down and work hard, and, you know, just understand that college, you know, you play football, it's going to have its ups and downs. So just challenging myself to keep that mindset, keep working hard and improving on the things that I wanted to improve on, and just kind of setting myself up for the next year and putting myself in a position putting myself in a position and just trying to be the player I ultimately wanted to be.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that happened, that applies to really anything in life. You know, there's always bumps in the road. There's always something that's going to happen that's not going to go well or go in your favor. And it's just all about how you bounce back from that. And it seems like you did to the fullest.
Yep, yes, sir, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So now I'm kind of curious. Can you kind of walk me through a day in the life of a D1 athlete at Wisconsin?
Yeah, just like kind of right now during my normal day-to-day, or just like, would you say, like, camp-wise or like?
Let's do camp-wise and then normal day-to-day.
Okay, yeah, so camp-wise, you know, obviously we got the, I think, what is it, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock wake-up time. Because we're one of the schools that practice early. Some schools practice late. We get our practice out early in the morning. So we wake up, practice. We wake up, you go straight to breakfast, get breakfast, then you go whatever treatment you need. If you need to get tape, go treatment and tape. I usually get a treatment, but I get tape of some sort of, just because we have to be taped before every practice. And then after that, we go into meetings. We go to morning meetings. And after morning meetings about maybe an hour or so. And after morning meetings, we're gonna go straight to practice. I think practice about 2.5-3 hours. Just ripping it out. And then after practice, we go. Then you got lunch. Obviously, treatment and recovery if you need ice tub, cold tub, hot tub, whatever you want to do. Then we got lunch, and it's like a little bit of a break period, right? It's like a little bit of a break period during that whole lunch and treatment session. That's like our whole break. And then after that, we go back to meetings. Yeah, after that, we go back to meetings. And we have our late night meetings. And then after the late night meetings, we do a workout. And then after the workout, we go straight to the field for walkthrough. For late night walkthrough, it's just kind of install, going over what we're going to install, do the next day, going over the script for practice and everything like that. Through the way. And then, yeah, and then kind of, you know, we got dinner,
And then kind of after that, you're on your own, just chilling. Usually it's so late at that point, about 9 o'clock, and we know we have to be back up at probably like 5:36. So kind of you really just want to get right back in, get right into bed and just go to sleep, get as much hours as you can. So yeah, that's kind of how the day goes through in camp. You really don't have much time to just like really much free time.
Yeah.
That last little hour you get is probably all the much free time you're going to get.
That's crazy. How do you balance academics with that like rigorous football schedule?
For the most part, during camp, you know, some guys I think I took one or two classes during camp. You know, usually summer classes are more so, depending on your major, it's more so like a little bit more chill, not as demanding as a kind of the school year. But yeah, just kind of during those free times, during that break, maybe instead of getting that nap in, if you have homework, getting that homework done, because, you know, school's going to come first. So just kind of getting that homework done there or anything like that. And then during the season, it's definitely hard, you know, just having those football days, and then also have to balance that out with class. But then, you know, you find a way.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's super impressive that you're able to balance all that, because I know for sure that that's not easy. So the next question is, I kind of want to talk about NIL money. How do you think NIL money has kind of changed college sports, and what are your views on it?
I think NIL is great for college sports. You know, obviously, I think guys should be getting paid what they're worth, because you got people that are really talented out here. And, you know, we make the school, these football players and athletes make the school so much money. So it's only right that they're compensated fairly. So I think NIL has been great. Also, it has gotten a little bit out of control in some ways. But, you know, I mean, I think people are getting paid what they're worth. But just I think it should have a little bit more rules. But I'm all for people getting paid, and I think it's great that you can have people set up their families, set up their personal life, and just things for, you know, set up, because, you know, the pros are not a 100% promise. Not everybody's going to make it. So I think NIL is so great for it to provide people with some financial freedom, just some type of money, just in case, you know, things don't go as planned, and just so they can have a little bit of money just to set themselves up. But I think NIL, it's been great for people, and I love to see that people getting paid. Just a little bit more rules and regulations to it would be cool, but I love that people are getting paid.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, because getting paid for, like you said, what they're worth is very important. You know, they help build the program and the university's status in a way. Like, we've seen that with Boulder, with what Deion's been able to do, and his players over there. They built that school up, and I mean, they should be getting paid. What do you think about the whole recruiting part, though? Like, it kind of makes it hard for any smaller program to recruit any top players, because, you know, some players are getting paid $1 million to come to, like, schools like Georgia or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Man, that's such a hard topic, just because, you know, obviously, it's like It's so hard for the playing fields to be leveled when you're talking about a smaller school compared to a bigger school, and then the bigger schools you give more money and stuff like that. I just think it's always tricky, because, you know, I just think in terms of high school athletes coming out of school and then getting those huge deals or millions or anything like that, I just think that's always hard. And it's just like, I think it's something that needs to be more so looked into, just because I feel like that doesn't level the playing field for everybody. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, like these high school students coming out, and they're super talented. You got high five stars, just guys that are, you know, that are going to be probably like ready contributors as soon as they get to school. So it's just like, you really can't tell a kid and deny them the money and just stuff like that. So
true.
I just feel like it's something that can be a little bit more balanced. That day, it's only so much the NCAA can do with that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. So this next question's the last question. I usually like ending my interviews off like this. If you had one piece of advice to give my audience or young aspiring football players, what would that be?
Yeah, definitely. I would say just it's a journey, man. Like, throughout whole college, you know, a lot of people like to compare themselves to other people. You see guys having success day one, and just like people coming in and just contributing right off the rip, and just you kind of see how amazing people are and how good of players is. I think people like to compare themselves. I just gotta say, just stick to your own journey. You know, not everybody's gonna have the same journey, and just put your head down and work. Enjoy the process, because you know you should enjoy the process. I think one of the crazy things about life is that you should enjoy the process more than you enjoy the outcome. Enjoy getting better every day. Enjoy, you know, the ups you have, enjoy the downs you have, just because, you know, they're all going to make you better. I think that's important for people to realize, just because, you know, and I just feel like at the end of the day, man, we have such a, a transfer community so much, just because, you know, people, things don't go right, you know, your first year, so you want to just, I'm out of here, just stuff like that. I just think, enjoy the journey, put your head down and work, do everything you can, to just put yourself in the best position, whether that be, you know, in your academics and honestly just controlling everything that you can control, everything that's in your control and that you can do to be the best version of yourself, do that, and just kind of put your head down and keep working.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Hallman, for joining me on my podcast today. It was truly an honor and a pleasure having the opportunity to hear about your incredible career as a collegiate football player. As Abner Belsky interviewing Ricardo Hallman, who's a cornerback for the University of Wisconsin.